Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Saturday Night Live.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If there's one sound that characterizes the Saturday Night Live opening theme, it's that lead tenor sax. Lenny Pickett has been playing those solos with the SNL band for almost 30 years, and he's been the band's musical director for almost 20. He's here with me today in the studio to talk about the new season of Saturday Night Live and to share with us a playlist, a pick three. Lenny, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Now, it's been a while that you've been there at SNL. Do you guys change or update that theme every year?
Not every year. Seems to be like every 3 years lately, or so, 2 or 3 years. You know, we polish up the old car. It's still Howard Shore's music. It's just
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Howard Shore's theme from 1975.
Wow. Howard Shore now, of course, famous for Lord of the Rings and all the other scores that he's done.
Yeah, it's a very basic composition, and we reorchestrate it, rearrange it, you know, periodically.
And what about now? You've been with the SNL band since the mid-80s. How has that changed and evolved?
Some of the people are the same. See Steve Touré.
The
Earl Gardner, trumpet player who used to play with the Vanguard band, still with us. Alex Foster was with us back then, alto players, played with Jack DeJohnette. He's still around. And Leon Pendarvis, keyboard player, is still playing with us. So it's there's five of us who have been there at least, you know, since then.
Yeah.
Leon started the show back in 1980, so he's been there almost 40 years now.
That's, I mean...
Or 35, excuse me.
Yeah. So what is it that keeps that core group of musicians coming together week after week, year after year?
Well, there are very few opportunities that are steady anymore for musicians. I mean, there's Broadway and that sort of thing, but one of the great things about our show is we do the 20 or 22 episodes a year, and the summers are off, so these amazing jazz musicians can go and do their other tours and continue with their, you know, their other work and still have a job that help support their families and things of that sort.
Right.
It used to be much more common that work like that existed, but the recording studio work has changed a great deal with the advent of recording in your living room on your laptop and all that sort of stuff. So there aren't that many things left, and television's one of the few places where you find that situation is still there.
Well, but you don't find many shows like SNL that just keep going and going and going.
Well, that's Lorne Michaels. Lorne is a genius about this, and he seems to have found his way into the entire universe of late night television.
Right,
and
right.
I've worked with a lot of producers, but he has more expertise and more talent at producing than anybody I've ever seen. He's quite amazing.
What does a typical week look like when SNL is in season?
There's a meeting on Monday evening where we gather with the guest host and the writers and the cast all get together, and they pitch ideas, and then they commence writing. They spend all day Tuesday writing into the wee hours. Often we come in Wednesday morning to start putting music together, and there are writers still awake.
From the previous night.
From the previous night. It's an old tradition.
Right.
We gather up the music in the morning from the 45 or so scripts that we have, and we put together tracks and live performance pieces and things like that for a table read. And then we start making sketches with minimal set, and then there's a run-through on Saturday. And then we do a dress rehearsal at 8 o'clock with a warm-up at 7:30, change the audience, and then 11:30 we do the show.
So you guys are the warm-up act, the band?
We are the warm-up act, and we're also the rodeo clowns for the... For anything that goes wrong in the dress rehearsal, we run in and start playing, and also we keep the audience engaged during the commercial breaks. So we play through the entire commercial break. We're not like some of the shows where they bump into the commercial, bump out. We actually play the whole thing.
Do you get to collaborate with the bands, the guest artists?
Very seldom. In the past, more so. Recently, the tendency for these acts is to go out very, very complete. You know, we play with people like Al Green and Aretha Franklin and Randy Newman, people like that. People who were really comfortable working with a pickup band, a studio band. That happened more often. But by and large, we have the budget for it, so we let them come and produce their music exactly the way they do it on their tour. like they're usually doing either a promotional tour of television shows or things of that sort, or they're out on the road. We'd say, bring in whatever will fit in our studio and do it the way you want to do it. And we let them do it exactly how they want to do it, because it seems like very few places can do that, but we have the budget and the room to allow them to come and present themselves the way they want to present themselves.
And you have that legacy. I mean, that's part of the legacy of Saturday Night Live as well,
Right. There's no lip-syncing, crazy, trickery kind of thing. It's like, it's not like watching American Bandstand and having somebody come out and sing along to their TV track. It's this is the real thing. And in the 70s, I used to watch the show when I was on the road with Tower of Power, and I would, like to get back to the hotel room in time to see it, partly to see these... you could see like Janice Ian, or you could see, I remember Tom Waits. Like, that was my introduction to Tom Waits, was seeing that,
Now your axe is tiny. Their mouth's 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around the coffee or the night. Hold them gypsy hacks and these insomniacs. Now the pepper's been red. Now the witch was served. Exercises and a salad soup. A coffee and a roll. Hash browns, with a chili in a bowl. Burgers and fries. Burgers and fries. Now what kind of pie? Baby, you gotta understand, I'm stuck here in a graveyard charade. They shift masquerade. It's 2:45. It's a time for a dance.
We're talking about Saturday Night Live with Lenny Pickett, the sax player, and you see him out in front of the SNL band every Saturday night during the times the show is in season. And also here to share a pick three. So I want to talk about some favorite musical moments off the show, on the show. But this pick three that you've brought to this playlist that you've brought to share with us is a pretty diverse group of pieces, beginning with something from Central Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this.
I heard this piece on the radio or something very much like it when I was a kid in Berkeley growing up. We had a couple stations, KSAN and KMPX, which were open format. And the DJs would play like an hour of, Blonde on Blonde, and then they'd play an hour of John Coltrane, and they'd play. This was something I heard on the radio and took a long time to find out what it was and find a recording of it. But it's what I love about it is that it's polyphonic. It's similar to drum music, but instead of using drums, they're using horns. Mm-hmm. And the notes are sonorous with one another. They're not like, it's not like a dissonant, but as they play, they build on and more notes come on, and it ends up sounding a little bit like a traffic jam, but like a very rhythmic, a very cool kind of traffic jam.
Were you already playing the horn when you heard this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started playing when I was 13, so I've been doing this a long time.
So this is Ongo Trogode?
Yeah.
They're from the Banda Linda tribe of Central Africa, and the song is called Dangaye. Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Is called Dangaye from Ongo Trogode, a group from the Banda Linda tribe of Central Africa, picked for us by Lenny Pickett. You described that very well. It does sort of sound like a traffic jam at one point, except a very sonorous one.
Very cool, awesome traffic jam.
So you mentioned playing your own band, Borneo Horns, and before that, Tower of Power. Mm-hmm. So horn players like playing together. It's
totally.
Just, yeah. And that sense of community. I mean, you hear that in some of the great horn sections like Tower of Power. Mm-hmm. Now, Lenny, you must have been like 14 or 15.
I was 18 when I started with them. And I hung out with them before that. I met them when I was 15 or 16. And we go over to their house and, you know, they had the road manager and the two principals in the band had, the songwriters had a place out in East Oakland. And I didn't have a car and I couldn't drive, but I would make my way out there and hang out with them all night long and stuff. So, and, you know, I've been doing something like that with other wind players from the beginning. I had a group that was soprano sax, tenor sax, and trombone. We used to play on the street all the time. And, you know, it's a joyous noise.
People, yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Have you heard the trombone shout band up at the United House of Prayer?
Yes, yeah. They're incredible.
Yeah,
the best.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
How did your parents feel about you, you know, as a teenager, going out to East Oakland, hanging out all night with musicians?
Well, I had long since stopped going to school, and I was, my mother, you know, a bohemian lifestyle, we'll say. This is 60s in Berkeley. Use your imagination. And nobody was, my stepfather was a trumpet player before that. And you know, I stopped going to school to play music. And somewhere in the ninth grade, I just sort of, you know, it was a diminuendo of school and a crescendo of music. And I just stopped doing that.
So these three songs you're sharing with us today on Soundcheck, mm-hmm. are these sort of representative of things that you've learned along the way?
You know, they're pieces that were inspirational at some point or other, either from a composition standpoint or from the standpoint of understanding music.
Mm.
They you know, it's like one of these moments where you hear something and it just has great meaning for you,
mm-hmm.
And you don't know why exactly. And all the three things had a striking meaning for me when I heard them. There was something compelling about them that. And I don't listen a lot to a lot of different music now. I don't have time with my job, and the job involves listening to so much music. Part of recreation for me is like having something closer to silence,
right.
Because it's so. And when I do listen, I'm very specific and very careful about what I listen to. And these are things that have stuck with me for a long, long time.
Speaking with Lenny Pickett, tenor sax player, musical director of the Saturday Night Live band. And the second of your pick three is the great bluesman Skip James.
Yeah, he's so awesome.
I mean, I remember the first time I heard Skip James too. That's a voice and a guitar style that doesn't go away.
So distinct, and it's so haunting. His voice is so beautiful, and he's playing this thing that's very similar to the African thing we heard, where he's in this. You hear him playing. It's all like a shuffle, like a three against two. And then he evens it out again. So it's dig da dig da ding dun ding dun ding dun 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 dig da dig da ding dun dun. It's really interesting. It's very almost like griot or something like that. It's like there's something very old and very amazing about it, and very difficult to write it down. You'd have a really hard time notating this the stuff that he
but
plays.
But his West African roots are showing in this music.
I don't know. I couldn't say that with certainty, but I would be surprised if they weren't.
Yeah.
But there's something really quite compelling about the rhythmic quality of his guitar playing.
Listen to this. Devil Got My Woman from the great Delta bluesman Skip James. James. Skip Nehemiah James.
It's intense, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that voice. Devil Got My Woman from Skip James, picked for us by Lenny Pickett, the tenor sax player, musical director of the SNL band, and sharing a pick three with us now. Lenny, I this next one, the Rising Stars Gospel Quartet,
mm-hmm.
we searched high and low for this mm-hmm. band and could not find them. So we're coming back to you to tell us who these people are.
I don't really know. I don't know exactly where they're from. All I know is I found the 78 in a bin at a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store on San Pablo in Oakland, California, and you know, we would go, my friends and I would go, and we'd look at records and we'd take things home and put them on the turntable and see what it was. And it was just a chance. They were, you know, usually a penny or two, so you just pick them up, and it was a low risk investment. Mm-hmm. And there were just some amazing, this was maybe the most amazing one, you know, this particular record is something. There's this beautiful high voice in it. There's this very rhythmic kind of backup thing, and then there's very strange rhythm things happening where it's all about what you hear, not what you'd see written on paper. It's like it's very free. It's beautiful.
So this is like what, 30s, 40s?
Maybe? I'm guessing it's probably late 30s, early 40s. It's in that period, you know.
And we're guessing that the name of the song is either Wings or Give Me Wings.
I remember we always called it Wings.
Okay. So it is the Rising Stars Gospel Quartet, a rarity presented by Lenny Pickett.
There's been something in my life make me feel like find a way to be at rest. Every morning when I rise, something moves before my eyes, make me feel like find a way to be at rest, to be at rest.
Give thyself one wing,
oh, faith, fly away, to be at rest, to be at rest.
That's called Wings, perhaps, or possibly Give Me Wings, from a local Oakland, California group from the late 30s, early 40s called the Rising Stars Gospel Quartet, fished out of a bin on a 78 by my guest Lenny Pickett, the tenor sax player and music director of the Saturday Night Live band, Saturday Night Live now in its 39th season, and Lenny sharing some favorite musical moments with us. What about on the show? Do you have any favorite musical memories from your years, your many years at SNL?
You know, people ask me that question. It's always so difficult. It's like, it's such a large experience, you know, and it, I mean, I've been doing this. This is my 29th season, you know. It's like it. I don't mean to avoid the question, but it really has sort of merged together for me. And I mean, there's so many different moments. It's hard to say. I mean, for me, I'm always looking for one transcendent moment in a performance, and a lot of what I, you know, do at the show doesn't get seen on television. It gets done for the house audience, you know, which is a really important component of the show. The house audience is what keeps the energy in the room going. It's like you have to have them with you. And I love playing for them and sort of, you know, and we're playing for people from every part of the country. They sent for their tickets 3 years ago. You know, they came in a lottery. They show up to go to New York City. They plan their whole trip around it, and they're from anywhere. And who knows what music they want to listen to? It's like really hard to tell. So trying to like transcend that circumstance and just find some sort of, you know, commonality for them where there's, you know, where they're responding to what we're doing, and it's more about getting the band to like, you know, all be sort of going in the same direction. And it's a really, you know, that's what I, you know, the music that I actually live for. The part that's on the show is necessary, but what we're, you know, my relationship with this really, really awesome band and the way that we play together is what I really sort of, that's what makes my life work.
Mm. Lenny Pickett, thank you so much for being with us. Great to see you again.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.